God is awesome. God is awesome. Get your Bibles out and turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. Put your finger there and just hold on to it for a little while. Joshua chapter 4. We're going to come back to this. Ain't God good? All the time. God is good. You know, there was a man selling. Let's get through all these. There you go. There was. We'll get it in a minute. Keep on working. We'll get it. Let's go backwards. Yeah. There was a man selling a vacuum cleaner. And he was knocking door to door, and he wound up at the door of a remote farmhouse. So while the lady at the house opened the door, he walked in and dumped a bag of dirt on the floor immediately. Just dumped a bag of dirt on the floor. "Now," boasted the salesman, "I want to make a bargain with you. If this super duper new vacuum cleaner doesn't pick up every bit of this dirt, I'll eat what's left." She said, "Here's your spoon." We don't have any electricity. Yeah, sometimes we get things mixed up and we jump to conclusions. And this holiday that we've got now, this one is coming up tomorrow, I really get disturbed when I hear when you say, "What's Memorial Day?" And they went down the street on some of the news channels and they asked people on the street what was Memorial Day, and some said it's the day you start wearing white. Others said it was the day that summer, the beginning of summer. And out of about 10 or 15 people, nobody talked about our fallen. Veterans Day is for veterans, living and dead, but Memorial Day is for our heroes that died in service. Men, women, even young people, they died in service for our nation. So we have to remember very strongly the people that died before us. Here's a little recount. I'm going to have to get in here where I can see it good. This is just a death toll. U.S. death tolls, not worldwide, because worldwide death tolls are even greater than this. These are death tolls from just a few, from since the Revolutionary War. The Revolutionary War, there was 4,435. The War of 1812, we lost 2,260. The Mexican War, we lost 13,283. The Civil War, the bloodiest of all, we lost 625,000 young lives. The Spanish-American War, we lost 2,446. World War I, 116,516. World War II, the war to end all wars, 405,399. The Korean War, 36,574. The Vietnam War, 58,220. The Persian Gulf War, 383. The Afghan War, 2,349. The Iraq War, 4,424. Altogether, deaths, American soldiers, no others, just American soldiers, is 1,271,289. And I'm here to tell you something. We should never, ever, ever forget one, much less all of those guys and women and young people that gave their lives for this country. And that's what right now, I just want you just to go ahead. You ain't got to stand up, but just put those hands up and say, "Father, we thank you for these people willing to sacrifice for us. Thank you, God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're awesome. And Lord, I thank you, God, for you said, greater love than this no man have than to give his life for his people. And Lord, I thank you right now for these guys and gals, old and young, and what they gave for you." You know, if you go into Arlington Cemetery, a lot of times people think that the chaplains didn't lose anything over there. If you go into Arlington Cemetery, there is a tremendous lot that is nothing but chaplains that died in the service. So it's chaplains and nurses and doctors, reporters, all kinds of stuff. Plus, not mention the actual infantry and the pilots and all the things that they did. I want to read this to you. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows protesters to burn the flag. Wow. All gave some gave all, but never, never forgotten. Thank God for these people that are still out there doing it, knowing they've signed their name on the dotted line, and they know that they can go at any time. We thank God for their sacrifice. Amen. Amen. Now, I was going to do the whole thing today, but I decided to back off and just do part of it today. Finish up next week. What do these stones mean? What do these stones mean? Talking about Memorial Day. I was not even going to preach about Memorial Day. And the Lord really, 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 really touched my heart and said, you can't forget this. Out of all things, you can't forget this. So here it is. Joshua chapter 4. Stand for the reading of the word. Joshua chapter 4. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm on dry ground, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men who have prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God, in the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? Then you shall answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When we passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan was cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in a place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark of the Lord stood in the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded. Joshua spake to the people according to all that Moses commanded. Joshua and the people hastened and passed over. And it came to pass that all the people were clean passed over when the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest of the presence of the people. And then the Bible says, of course, that the water went back. I'm not going to try to name all those tribes. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for all the things you do for us all the time. And Lord, we can never thank you enough, because you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And Lord, we know, God, that you got this. You got it. And we thank you for it. We thank you for all the men and women and the young and old, all those that gave their life for our country. And help us to honor their sacrifice by living the best we can. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. But listen, this is very important today, so say this. The past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, there's a new day dawning. These guys have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and so God's getting ready to change everything. Everything's getting ready to turn around. Some of y'all in here right now, you've been wandering for quite a while, wondering when God was going to move. I'm here to tell you, get ready. It's not going to be long now. God is getting ready to do something. So behind these people was 40 years. 40 years of wandering, what ifs, what could have beens, and the known. Now, let me just kind of back up on this and talk about it. These 40 years were the punishment because they refused to go in like God said. All they could do was complain, moan and groan and complain, and wanted something right then. Got to have it now. An 11-day journey. It was only 11 days. An 11-day journey wound up to take 40 years. 40 is the number of trial. These guys here, they could have gone in within a week, but instead, 40 years. Now, wandering, can you imagine? They were never really able to settle down. If you look in the book of Numbers, it talks about at least 42 times that he had to move in these 40 years. That's the known, but there's a lot of unknowns. So we don't know how many times they actually moved through the promise, or not promised land, but through the wilderness, waiting to go to the promised land, all because they didn't believe God and do what God said. Y'all say the past is behind us. There's been your days where you just held on, or you tried to figure it out, or you find yourself not moving forward with God, and you're wandering and you're wandering and you're wandering, not realizing while they were wandering, God was forcing them to trust Him. They wandered thinking it was all just a punishment. Well, it wasn't just a punishment. God was forcing them to trust Him. If He didn't send manna, they couldn't eat. If He didn't send a quail, they couldn't have meat. If He didn't have the rock, they couldn't get water. And so He was making them, causing them to trust Him more and more and more. Their shoes grew with them. Their clothes grew with them. They didn't outgrow anything. They didn't wear out. And so, again, the wilderness is not only a training session and a punishment, but it was also teaching them to trust God in a way that they had never trusted God before. If you're in the wilderness today, just know one thing. Just keep trusting. Keep trusting. God's going to get you out of there. It is. Then there's the what ifs. There was 1.5 million Jews. And God said, when they refused to go in, that none of them would go into the promised land. So if none of them were going to go into the promised land, then He said they were going to die in the wilderness. Let me just kind of break this down for you. With 1.5 million people in a 40-year wilderness grave march, funeral march, 37,500 died a year. They had up to 100+ funerals every day for 40 years. Can you imagine that? They're learning to trust God, but they're watching because He said you're going to fall in the wilderness. So He's watching these people over 20 that did not believe. They're watching these people fall out and they die. So they have this. So this is a 40-year funeral march too. 100 people per day died and was buried in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be buried in my wilderness. It's totally up to you, because God don't want you there either. Amen? So then, the could have beens. Can you imagine? Every time they come by the entrance to the promised land, they were not allowed to go in, but they had to keep on wandering and keep on wandering. How many times have you thought about where God told you something and you didn't listen? And now every time you pass by where if you'd listened, God would have had you out of this. You would have said, man, if I had just listened. Come on now. If I just paid attention, if I hadn't been scared to step out, wow. And then there's the knowns. There's the funerals. There's the failures. There's the manna. There's the rock. I mean, the rock. And there's the quail. But this day, all of us going to be left behind. Matter of fact, the Bible said once they crossed over Jordan, there was no more manna. There was no more quail. Everything stopped when they got into the promised land. So now, y'all say this. The past is behind us. Leave it there. Amen. The past is a good teacher, but the past also got a lot of pain. All right? Now, ahead of them in this new day dawning, in front of them was this. You think you're getting better, but I'm not sure if it's better or how it is, because watch. In front of them, there was continuous, unknown challenges, battles, and victory. The continuous unknown, because the spies didn't go through the entire promised land. They went through part of the promised land and brought back what they saw, the grapes and all the mighty fruits and the milk and honey, just like God had said. But still, it was an unknown. God was causing them to step out beyond themselves. I promise you tonight, today, if you can learn to step out beyond yourself, wow. You know, the biggest person putting limits on you is you, not God. You're putting the limits on you. And so if you can learn to step beyond those limits and step beyond the unknown, that's where the fruit is. And the challenges, yes, there was milk and honey, but there was giants. And because of those giants, there was battles. So there's challenges and there's battles. But God promised that they could have the victory if they did it His way. I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of unknowns in our life. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of battles that we face all the time. But God promised us the victory if we'll just lean on Him, hold His hand, use His word, trust Him, and watch what God can do. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Now say the future is ahead of us. Get ready. This church is not even seen as big as it can get. This church has had vision of having to build and build, and this church had vision of being a soul-saving station of all races. This is such a powerful thing, and it hasn't got there yet. And right now, we're in that little wilderness, and we're thinking, is it ever going to get any better? Yes, it's going to get better, because when we get beyond ourselves, and we know that we know that we know, we trust God, it's amazing what's going to happen. So, the future is ahead of us. Get ready. They would need a forward look. How many people are always looking over your shoulder, talking about yesterday? Yesterday. Yesterday. Well, this is how we did it yesterday. Well, guess what? We're still trying. It don't work. Things have time limits. You got to figure out other ways to do things. The word stays the same, but the methods change. So now watch this. You see why I'm stopping on this right now, because it's a lot. It's very deep. A new day was dawning. First, there was a promise. They were supposed to go into the promised land. And God spoke to Joshua and said, I'm going to part the Jordan for you. And they're going to trust you like they trusted Moses. This is their Red Sea experience. I'm going to part it, and you be ready, because when you part it, we're going to go over. And He gave them the instructions. So there was the promise, but get ready. The path to the promise. Let's go back to the third chapter. Come on with me. Come on back there with me. Go to chapter 3. trying to see how far back to go. Let's just start at 9. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail, y'all say without fail, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take unto you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of each every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the water of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people were moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water. So you got to move forward into the unknown. And Jordan, listen here, Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above and rose upon a heap far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right before Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So, the path to the promise. The Bible tells us that Jordan was swollen. Now, normally, the Jordan was 10 feet deep, maybe even 20 foot deep. But when it swelled, and it was only a few thousand yards, but when it swelled at harvest time, now it was 50 foot to 200 foot deep. And it was normally 100 foot wide, but now it is a half a mile wide. So think about this thing. God didn't tell him to go over when it was easy. God told him to go over when it was at its absolute peak of problems. I'm going to just stop right there and just think about that. He said, I want you to go over, but when you go over, I don't want you to just go over when it's easy. Then you can say, you did it. I'm going to make it hard so when you get over, you're going to know that I did it. Some of you right now wonder, why God is it getting so hard? And God's saying, because I want you to lean on me. Because when you lean on me, you'll know that you didn't do it, that he did it. So now, the power of the promise. If you look at where it said, it was from the waters rose above, from the city of Adam down to the salt sea. You know how long it parted? 20 miles. Wow. So the Jordan just didn't pop over a little bit, and that kind of slid through and let me through. 20 miles dry ground for these people to walk across. So they got 50 to 200 foot water. It's a half a mile plus wide, and it's 20 miles open for his people to go through. So now, there's the promise. There's the path to the promise. The promised land is the promise. The path to the promise is go over this swollen, go over Jordan. I'm going to part it for you. That's a promise, but it was swollen. The power of the promise, he parted it 20 miles. And the picture of the promise. Y'all say God is with us. Say it again. God is with us. Amen. So now, let's talk a little bit about this memorial. 12 men took 12 stones, one for each of the children of Israel. And they took them from Jordan's floor. Without God, they'd have a deep sea diver. Think about this. There's no way under normal circumstances they could do this. Then they piled them up together and put them in the promised land. I want y'all to listen carefully as a reminder. An unmistakable reminder. But then he put 12 stacked up in the Jordan. That very seldom could ever be seen again. You got some reminders and some memorials that you see every day. But sometimes you can't even see those. When it's so foggy, when it's so deep, when the blood is so deep, when the haze is all around you and the swords are flying, and you can't see that memorial stone in front of you. Just remember, there's also one inside of you. And you hold on to what God did for you. Hold on to it. You see, let me just go a little bit further. I'm going to tell you about my memorial stone. He's got the power to overcome any obstacle. Y'all say, nothing. Nothing shall be impossible. Amen. So, crossing the Jordan. Watch this. It's not just, that's what happens when you do it when you're asleep. All right. You forget to put the rest of it with it. So here it goes. Ready? I'm just going to go. You already seen it all. It's not just a physical river. It's a spiritual one as well. Leaving the past behind filled with trials and tribulations, stepping into an unknown future, still filled with promise. These stones are a reminder that God can bring you through the wilderness, out of the Jordan, and up and into the promised land. When I was 13 years old, we all had motorcycles, me and my brothers. They had SL70s. I had an SL100. Y'all remember the SL Honda SLs, dirt bikes? I had an SL100. And we rode those things all day long. We had pulpwood paths. We could go back. We could ride for hours, never cross the same path. And there was a dirt road on the other side of the field by our house. And that dirt road was about a mile long. And then it broke off into all kinds of paths, and the pulpwood pass and all that. One day we were racing, and my brother said, I was going well over 60 miles an hour, because there's we do 60, and I was passing them. And I hit a bump. We were not wearing helmets. We were not wearing goggles. We were tough. Stupid tough. And it threw me. And my brothers told me that I went up as high as what they could see. They said about as high as the light wires. I went up in the air, and it threw me in a field, and I just scraped across the field, and they thought I was dead. My face was cut up and bleeding, and my head was swelling, and they didn't know what to do, so they ran to the house, and they called my daddy. And across the street was a grocery store. And the guy from the rescue squad, the main guy from the rescue squad, happened to be seeing Daddy go up on the station wagon on two wheels going down that road. And so Daddy picked me up and he said I was stiff as a board. And they thought I was dead. And they put me in the back of that station wagon. And when they got to the foot of that road to go onto the highway, the man that run the rescue squad, was the rescue squad guy, he said, David, He said, meet me at the rescue. Let's take care of you. He said, you slide over. I'll drive, and we get to the rescue squad. I'll put him in the rescue squad. They put me in intensive care, and they didn't do like they do these days and times. They just left me there and told my mom and daddy, you can see him for 10 minutes every 2 hours, and if he's here the next time you see him, okay, but we don't think he's going to make it. And they left me there, and I was unconscious. And the first week went by, nothing happened. They did brain tests, and they said, your son's got tremendous brain damage. And said, we really believe with all of our heart that if he does make it out of this, he will either be a vegetable or he will be in a special school, because there's no way he can survive this. the second week come along. And mom and daddy had kept going back every 2 hours for 10 minutes. And a preacher come up, a woman, and she said, "Yeah, I see you've been here all this time, and I hear about your son." She said, "Do you mind if I go pray for him?" And to this day, I don't know what she did, but my mama said she went in, and she opened her Bible, and she read it. And I'm pretty sure what it was, but I don't know because I was unconscious, and mama can't remember. And she laid the Bible on my chest, and she grabbed my hand, and she said, "In the name of Jesus, live." They're still telling my mom and dad, it'll be a year or two before I can walk again. It'll be a year or two before I go back to any type of school, if I live. The next day, mom and daddy missed one visitation. And they were down the hall. And the nurses come running out, hollering, "Mr. Linton, Miss Linton, Mr. Linton, Miss Linton, come, 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 come quick." And they thought I was dying. And when they got there, I'd come too. Head swollen. It's still swollen. My head was swollen. My arm was paralyzed. I couldn't walk. Could hardly talk. And Daddy looked over and said, "Talk to me, son, talk to me." And I'm reminded of DC's first words. He said, "Talk to me, son. Talk to me." And I said, "I'm hungry." He said, "What you want?" I said, "Cheeseburger." Same thing DC said. Like Father likes. And of course, I fell back out. So I didn't get my cheeseburger. And for the next 3 or 4 days, I'd wake up and go to sleep, wake up and go to sleep, wake up and go to sleep. And then they put me in a room. And all I remember is one day I woke up and I looked, the room was full of cards. It was cards everywhere. And there was my mama and my daddy. And I said, "What am I doing here?" And she said, "Son, we thought you were going to leave us." I said, "What are you talking about?" And I still don't remember the accident. I don't remember a month before the accident. And she said, "You got in this wreck, and you got a skull fracture, and it's about 4 inches on the side of your head, about 4-inch skull fracture." And I said, "I can't move my arm." And they said, "Yeah, that's paralyzed." And I said, "My feet." And she goes, yeah, but you'll be all right, I hope." And they said I'd be hospitalized 6 months. I went home the following week. School started. And they already told me I wouldn't ever go to a real school again. And I couldn't walk, so I'd get on my knees. If I wanted something, I'd get on my knees and crawl to get to it. And so mama kept telling me, "Get back in that bed." And she would tie this hand so I'd have to use this hand because it was paralyzed. And so all this stuff went on for about 2 weeks. I missed the first 2 weeks of eighth grade, and they said I'd never even go back. Guess what? I went back to the eighth grade in 2 weeks. It wasn't easy, but I wasn't about to give up. And in December, Dr. Muther checked my brain, and he said, "I don't know what to tell you." He said, "This boy had severe brain damage like you wouldn't believe." And he said, "I just tested him today, and it's gone." It's gone. It still took me about a year to get all my facilities back in order and working straight. But you know what? When I was about 30, I was going through some things with church folks, of course. And I was going through some things with my own folks. And it's during this time I was saying, God, you got to move, you got to move, you got to move, you got to show us, you got to show us. I got to have you. I got to know you're with me. I got to know you're with me. And I grew a beard for the first time. And when I grew the beard, I noticed something. I had a great old big patch right here. And a great old big patch right here. And a patch right there. And I said, why can't I grow a beard on that side of my face? I mean, I can now, but why can't I grow a beard on my face? And then it hit me. That's the scars from your wreck when you were 13. And God spoke to me very clearly and said, the same thing I did for you back then. You look at them scars. You're standing up, aren't you? You're using your arms, aren't you? You got your head, don't you? You can think, can't you? You can walk, can't you? The same thing I did for you back then, I'm going to do for you now. And so for years, when I'd go to shave and see that scar, I'd always say, he did it before, he'll do it again. He did it before, he'll do it again. And so that was my stones right here. And I saw them for years until finally, God said, I'm going to let you have some hair and let some hair grow over it. But the biggest scars, I mean, excuse me, the biggest stones are right here. God tells me all the time, if I did it before, I can do it again. Some of y'all right now, I want you to just sit back and think about some time in your life when you came into something that you think you would never get out of, and you remember God going through it with you and getting you through it, and you take that, and I want you to take it, and I want you to put it before your eyes and keep it before your eyes, that God took you through something that nobody said you could get through. They said if I weren't brain dead, I'd be brain damaged, that I'd be in a special school. I only missed 2 weeks of school, and I graduated. Within weeks, now I tell you what, it was bad. My memory was really, really bad because they got affected bad for a while, and they put Joey Roberts in my class with me because he's my friend, and they put him sitting right behind me. And we never cheated on tests ever, and that's the truth. That is the truth because he wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't ask him to, but he would help me all during the day because the teacher say, turn to page 5. And I go, I look at Joy, said, page 5. And then she'd say, okay, I need to get your pen and paper out, and I need you, we're going to write, put numbers down 1 to 12. And I go, what did she say? Because I'd forget before I could even start doing it. And I'd turn around to Joe, and he'd go, number your paper from 1 to 12. He never got upset with me. He never got out of shape. And God, through God, and everybody around me, through Joey Roberts, all this stuff, it was amazing how God did something special. And when I left 8th grade, I left it in the honor roll. So, God, yeah. So, today, if you got to look for your scar on your beard, if you got to think about, you know, go out in the yard and see something where God protected you and saved you, you pull that out. And you remember, you need this right now. You need this. Remember, if God did it for you before, he'll do it for you again. You can trust him. God is a faithful God. Amen? God is faithful! Y'all say it with me. God is faithful! One more time. God is faithful! Amen. DC, come on up here. God is awesome. God is awesome. Mama, when they went down the road to pick up my bike and carry it back to the house, she said, Larry and Gary were crying, and she was crying, and she said, sons, dried up. She said, you know what happened? A month before, I don't remember. She said, y'all all got baptized in the river and you gave your heart to the Lord. And she said, God has his hand on him. And he said he was going to trust God no matter what. Let's go ahead and trust him. God's got this. God's got him. Maybe somebody will remind you, you need to have your memorial. So you can go back and you can think of where God was faithful and know that he didn't let you down. Everybody that's staying. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our God is a faithful God. Does He always move exactly like we want Him to? Nope. That's one of the reasons why the people wandered in the wilderness, because God wasn't moving the way they wanted Him to. And they bickered and they complained because they were looking for instant gratification and God was looking for a warrior people. The 40 years of wilderness took the slave mentality out of these people. God took them out of Egypt, but the 40 years took the Egypt out of them. And now God sets up that memorial. God's got this. God's got this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here right now, first off, and you and God aren't quite as close as you had been, or you're not as close at all you want to be. When nobody's looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, we just put that hand up and say, I need to draw closer to God. I need to draw closer to God. Maybe you're here and you're going through something and you need to look back at a memorial and know that God's got you. That God's got His hand on you. That God hadn't let go of you. You can't judge God's faithfulness while you're in the battle. You got to judge God's faithfulness by looking back. Faith, you look forward. Faithfulness, you look back. And right now, God needs you to look forward in faith, but back in faithfulness. And notice God's got you. If you're here today and you're needing to see that memorial, I had not seen those scars. Hadn't paid any attention to those scars. Until I started growing a beard. Because initially, the scabs went from all the way across my forehead and all the way down inside my face and down my neck where I scraped that road. Had road burn. And that's another miracle. It all went away. Except for those two spots. And I had forgot all about it until I got in trial. Grew that beard. And saw the scars. God is faithful. God is faithful. If you just need a good old shot in the arm and nobody looking around, every eye closed, just put that hand up. God, I'm just need a good old shot in the spiritual arm. I'm expecting you to do something special right now. Father, touch everybody here today, God. Minister mightily in the way only you can. Touch and anoint. And Lord, let everybody find their memorial stones that they can look at and remind them how God moved for them in the past. And we'll thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Let's all pray together. Father, I need you. There's so many things. There's so many obstacles, including myself. That gets in my way. Help me to reach up because you're already reaching down. And help me to live like you'd want me to. And help me to give you everything I got. And Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. I rededicate my life and my service to you. And Lord, all those folks that never made it home, bless their families in a very powerful way. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Come up here, bro. Okay. I got these. How you doing? You look better. Slow is better than none.
Yeah.
Of course. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Jimmy, and we thank you for Francis. Touch them both where they need to be touched. And we thank you for something very powerful happening in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for Jimmy going to the hospital when he did, and they fixed him and let him go ahead and recuperate. And Lord, touch Francis and her legs. Lord, help her keep them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God is so good. God is good. Brother Wayne, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?